This is The Bird Show.
All right, buckle in. Here we go. The nanny call, man.
Nanny!
We can't recall what year it happened, but this was such an explosive call that it is absolutely by far the one request we have gotten more than anything else as we're looking back over 25 years. It's like, oh my God, you got to play the ninny call again. The ninny call, the ninny call.
And we actually played it not too long ago because we were going for whatever reason down memory lane and felt the need to relive it.
So Tommy will tell you that we were talking about a TV show that was highlighting breastfeeding your kids as they got older, like 8, 9, 10 years old, right?
Yeah, you mentioned here it's a documentary. I think it's called Extraordinary Breastfeeding or something like that.
And then we get this call that comes in, and we were so curious because this was such an over-the-top call that I think Jeff did the research after it and like talked to her mom, who wouldn't come on the air with us, and said, yeah, it's a true story. But she was in her, what, 20s?
Yes, I think she mentions the last time that she ninnied was when she was 25, I believe. And she, it may have been like a couple years since she last ninnied at that point.
And they called it ninny, and she's 25 years old. And when she's stressed out, she would go home and she would latch onto her mom's nipple.
Yeah, as a stress relief practice. And again, the Burt Show did not come up with the ninny label. That is how she referred to it between her and her mother.
All right, buckle up. The ninny call.
We played the audio of a documentary that's been circulating called Extraordinary Breastfeeding. And it's shocking because the mother in the video is almost boasting about her 7-year-old that is still breastfeeding. And the 7-year-old is excited about it. Starts crying at the end of the audio because her mom's trying to sort of wean her off. She's not ready to go. It's 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So we were floored by that. And then we got this call here from Ashley. Hey, Ashley.
Hi.
You're on the voice disguiser.
Hi, I love you guys.
Thank you for calling. And I have to be totally honest with you. I'm glad that you called up, but our initial response is like, okay, this can't be true.
No, it's true. It's definitely true. I swear by it. And my friends know about it. My close friends know about it, too. My family jokes about it. But my mother weaned both me and my sister when we were about 2. It took me a little longer. She actually had to put hot sauce on her boobs to make me stop coming back for more.
How old were you when you stopped breastfeeding?
I was about 2 or 2.5.
Why does it say 17?
Yes, but what happened was I would come back for more throughout the years. I would I think it was just a comfort thing, and I would, you know, always come back, and you know, my mom would call it mini, and she would always say, "Do you want some mini?" And I'd say, "Yeah, sure." So I, you know, throughout the years, I would have mini, what we call mini, and
mini, like as in Minnie Mouse?
No, mini with an N, like Nancy, 2 N's.
Ninny. Okay.
And, you know, when I got chicken pox at 13 or 14, she gave it to me then because, you know, I was sick and I felt horrible.
She would give it to you naturally?
Yeah. You know, whenever I felt bad or sad about anything, she would say, "Would you like some ninny?" I'd say, "Yeah, sure." And, you know, we just lay down and I'd, you know, suckle.
Okay. And was she still producing breast milk?
No.
Oh. Oh, boy.
So you were just it's like a pacifier.
Just want the comfort.
Yeah.
Like a what do you call them? Little bippies? What do they call pacifiers?
A pacifier.
In her case, it's a ninny.
I called a pacifier.
What is it? A binky.
A binky?
Your mommy was your binky.
Oh. Yeah. So, okay, so you
continue.
Had chicken pox, 13, 14, you had some ninny.
Then when I was 17, I remember, you know, also having it then. And I think the last time I had it was before I got married. My fiance at the time was going to, he was trying to break off the wedding. We ended up getting married, though, but I was about 25.
Ah! No, shut!
You were 25 and you took your mother's breast.
You're making this up.
She asked me if I wanted it because I was really distraught, and she said, you know, "Would you like some mini?" I said, "Sure." So, you know, I had my ninny and I felt better.
You're
really?
Making this up.
I swear to God.
You would put your mouth around your mother's breast at 25 years old?
I can't do this job.
Wait a second.
I need to open a drive.
Seriously, let's think about the psychological aspect of this.
Like, yeah.
What is it about this whole experience that you kept going back for? And how is it that your mother was not able to say no?
Just to get to my mother, just had two girls, and she was very, we were very close, and she just thought, she also probably liked the closeness, and I didn't mind it either. I mean, we don't have a weird relationship at all. I mean, we have our ups and downs. Sometimes we don't get along. Sometimes we do, but it's just a normal mother-daughter relationship. It's nothing weird.
Does your sister do the same thing?
No, she was more, I think, more independent. Once she was done. With me, it was more, because I was a baby of the family. I think my parents babied me a lot more, so it made me, you know, more inclined towards it, maybe.
Is this something that you ever thought that you might need to go see somebody professionally for?
Oh, no, I don't crave it. It's just...
Well, don't you think...
They're finished? Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't crave it at all. It's just something that me and my mom, it's like a little understanding we have that, you know, she'll offer it to me sometimes.
But don't you think that you, like your mom's offering, like seriously, your mom, an adult woman, is offering her daughter, a 25-year-old adult woman, her breast.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe your mom needs to talk to someone. Is that okay?
Because it's not okay. I mean, I'll just say it. It's not okay. I mean, because when is the last time you took your mother's breast?
Before I got married.
And that was how long?
That was about 2.5 years ago.
Okay. And does your mom have healthy relationships as an adult?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Is she married? Is she in
And actually, when my dad sees me doing it, he thinks it's hilarious. He's like, you know.
Ashley, you've got to be making this story up. Your dad,
I quit.
It's a true story. I swear it's true.
Your dad watches you on your mom's breast?
Yeah, he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't sit there and watch, but he just thinks it's cute. He, you know.
Oh, honey, this is not right.
This has to be in my contract somewhere. You guys can't do this to me.
This is not right.
This is not you. This is you guys are
okay.
You're all effed up. We're all effed up.
Now, here's the thing: is that you
I still love you, Jeff. You're hilarious.
Now you're helping us today.
Well, you seem very much like you think this is normal, or that this is okay.
I mean, I wouldn't look down on somebody or think they're abnormal because they do it, because I've done it and I know I'm a normal person. I mean, yeah, but it's just something that I always did with my mom, and I never really saw anything wrong with it. Now I think I wouldn't. I mean, but not because I'm older now, and you know, to me, you know, now it has more of a different connotation, I think. But
well, you say you're older now, but you're 25 the last time you did it. So you're how old now?
Going on 28.
May I ask a question about the relationship you have with your husband, the sexual relationship? Was your husband your first time?
Yeah. I had relationships before that, but he was the first.
Right, and yeah, did that happen after you got married?
Yeah.
So now have the breasts become more of a sexual object?
I think I would be more hesitant to do it now.
Now, did you say earlier about how your husband had a heart or an issue with that before he got married? Did we breeze over that?
No, he didn't have an issue with that. In particular, it was other things, and I was really distraught, and he wanted to call it off, so my mom offered me Nini, and it, you know, so that was the last time that I had it.
That was the reason why he wanted to?
No, that wasn't the reason why, but that triggered the last time that I actually had it.
Has he ever seen it?
No.
And can we talk to your mom?
I'm afraid I couldn't be. I want to be respectful to your mom, but I don't think I could because I'm very angry at the fact that she has offered this to you so long as if it's a normal thing. It's not.
She just knows that it's like she's in her mind. She sees it as a nurturing kind of thing, and she knows if it makes me feel better, then she'll offer it to me.
Can we talk to her?
It's calming to her.
Well, I'm at work now.
How old was she the last time? How old was your mom the last time you ninnied?
Well, she'll be 60 this year, so probably, you know, 57, 58.
Seriously, I can't ask this another time, but I want to. Can we talk to her? Please, please, please.
I would like to talk to your husband, too.
Please.
Well, that would have to be another time, though, because none of them are here with me right now.
Tomorrow morning, we want to talk to your mom. Please.
We'll put her on the voice disguiser.
I'll talk to her and see what she feels about it.
Okay.
You gave your phone number to our producers, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. If it's a correct phone number, then I'll believe your story. But if we call
it is.
Okay.
It's the correct number.
Then, yeah, I would love to talk to your mom about it tomorrow. I mean, wow.
Thank you for sharing it. I'm sorry.
There's nothing. Well, to be, according to her, there's nothing to be sorry about. It's
well,
no different.
According to her, of course, because according her mother to her, told her this was okay.
Her, it's like when you go to Millie Pete and you, like, let's say it was a breakup, and your mom, you sit there on your mom's shoulder, and she strokes your hair to calm you down. That's Millie Pete's way. She's saying her mom's way of just letting her.
No, Millie Pete's way is she might bake me something. Say, here, honey, have this, but she's not going to plop her breast on the plate next to it.
Ashley, how long are you going out with guys when you tell them that this is still part of your personality, your routine?
It's come up probably after a year or so into the relationship.
And do most guys at that point just go, this is not something I want to be involved in, or that doesn't bother
them? They just think it's weird. If by that time they know me and they love me, so it's not like they're going to, you know, break up with me just because of that.
You must be hot.
No, not really. I mean, you know.
You got to be hot, because I'll tell you what, if you're not really hot and you tell a guy that you, at age 25 you're ninnying every now and again,
that's a deal breaker.
Yep, bye bye.
Yeah, they're smoking for me, concerned. And there's ninnying at 25. Those are deal breakers.
It's just a concern. I really wonder what a therapist would say about your mom's behavior.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, actually, my mom had done it for my niece and nephew.
She has not her own children.
Yeah, if my sister's been busy, my sister's like, you know, they won't stop crying, so mom can do something. So yeah, my mom's done it for them, and you know, they've quieted down and they've fallen asleep on it.
So I mean, and again, there's no breast milk. It's just nurturing for her nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
Good God.
And her sisters or brother, I don't know whose children they are okay
my
with that.
My sister's kids. She's fine with it.
Okay.
I thought after 7 years of doing the show, there was very, very little that could totally floor me and shock me.
No, that did it.
That reached a totally different plateau on this show.
So back to now. You know how there are just some movies that you will watch over and over again, and you find something new in the movie every time?
Yep. What was new for you this time?
The very last thing I almost didn't even pick up on. Did she say that the niece and the nephew were doing?
Yes. So that means grandma is giving her teat to her grandchildren.
Not the teat.
The teat.
I couldn't get over. I don't know who's the one that was saying, this isn't my contract. Get me out of here. Yeah. I need to order a laundromat.
What I forgot was that her dad has seen it in person. I completely forgot about that part.
The convenient thing for the niece and nephew, they probably don't even have to sit in her lap. She could just stand up, and they hang so low. They're like, right there.
Oh, my God.
Good Lord. Okay. Now I understand why you guys were requesting it so much. It's just as shocking today as it was back then.
It's a Hall of Famer, baby.
That's for sure.
It's a Hall of Famer.
I'm going to open up a laundromat.
It's the Burt Show. Here.
This is the Burt Show.
You were desperate, Kristen. You were desperate, desperate, desperate.
Desperate times call for desperate measures. And even though I was vulnerable and I reached out in my moment of weakness, I got zero response and almost missed the wedding ceremony. So I told you guys I was at a wedding in Kentucky this past weekend. My husband's best friend married his lovely fiance, Kelly. Kelly and Markham are now a happily married couple. And we are in Kentucky. Bart is the best man. He's the only man in the wedding. I love Markham so much. He's like, yeah, no, this is like one dude's fine. And she had four bridesmaids and they did not care. They were just doing their own thing and I love it. Right?
So he was the best man by default.
Bart? No, he was the chosen, the only man.
Just the last man standing?
No, there was other dudes, but Markham only wanted one person. Oh. He didn't want a bunch of groomsmen. Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, so, and Bart got to do it. There was another friend, Otis, there, like kind of, it was jokingly giving Markham like the eyes, like what, like I'm chopped liver over here? I don't deserve to stand up there, but it was all funny and done in jest. So Bart leaves to go early to do photos, as one does. And I'm not going to be in these photos. So I'm back at the hotel room and I am taking my leisurely time getting ready for this wedding and taking my long shower and, you know, beating up my face and doing my hair. And then I put on the dress, which I absolutely loved. But the way it clipped in the back around the neck. So it was a halter dress with a zipper down the side, which was no issue, even though I put it over top of my head, forgetting there was a zipper on the side, like the idiot I am. And I'm trying to get it latched. There's two eye hooks that you have to latch on the neck of the dress. And, you know, I get the fake nails. And so my acrylics are not allowing me to attach this dress. And I'm starting to get a cramp in my arm and in my back. And I'm sitting here in this room by myself. There's nobody else. My husband's already at the wedding venue taking photos. And I'm like, What am I supposed to do? I have literally nobody. I cannot clasp this dress to save my life. So I called down to the front desk of the hotel, and a lovely man by the name of Brandon picked up. And I said, "Hi, this is Kristen in room 219. This is an odd request, but I can't get my dress on, and I need a female employee to come up here and help me latch my dress."
Oh, I've been online. I know how this this ends. Okay.
And he was like, "Oh, girl, I got you. Like, I'll get somebody up there, you know, up there set." And I'm like, "Thank you so much. I know this is weird, but..." So I hang up with Brandon, thinking, all right, well, somebody will be up knocking on my door. So I continue getting, I got my shoes on, I got my lips on, I got everything in my clutch. I'm ready to go. I need to walk out the door so I can walk to the venue. Tick-tock. I hear the elevator. Ding. Oh, this is it. Tick-tock. Literally, nobody is coming. So now I'm staring at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, I can't. So I sit down on the bed, and I lost track of how long it took me, but somehow, some way, I figured out how to latch this dress. About put my arm out of socket, but I did it. So I walk downstairs and I go to the front desk, and I'm like, "Hey, Brandon, just want you to know I'm Kristen from 219. I figured it out. Thanks." And I turn, and he goes, "Oh, good. I'm sorry. I can't even remember that. We'll call her Ellie. I'm so sorry. Ellie hasn't been up there yet. She's bartending." So this was a small boutique hotel, and they didn't have a lot of employees. So he went to ask the bartender to come fix my dress, but they had like a bunch of people at the bar. And I'm like, "I'll go tell her." So as I'm walking out of the hotel to go to the venue, I go to the bartender. I'm like, "Hey, I'm the girl that had the issue with the dress. I figured it out." And she's got her hands full of like mixers. She's just like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I got slammed. I couldn't fix your dress." But I was so close to being late to the ceremony because I couldn't get somebody to come to my hotel room.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
It's the beginning of the end. The robots are taking over, and maybe not the robots, but the AI is taking over the entertainment industry, because there's an AI actress out there that's been created whose name is Tilly Norwood, which honestly sounds like a very fictional character in a like British fairy tale or something. Like, Tilly Norwood lived in the woods with her grandma and she sold cookies and then she had to fight a dragon. That's what it sounds like to me. But Tilly Norwood is not a small child who lives in the woods in Great Britain. She is an AI actress. She does not exist. She's completely AI, and she is looking to get representation from actual Hollywood talent agencies, or her creator, whoever made Tilly Norwood, is looking for representation.
When you see Tilly... This is what's so crazy and so advanced about AI, and how much it's advanced in such a short period of time. This is, I mean, you would look at this and think, real person.
Keep going, because I'm going to have an unpopular opinion on this.
So several people have already spoken out against Tilly, including Emily Blunt. And now the Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, is also getting in on things. So the union said it, quote unquote, believes creativity is and should remain human-centered. The union is opposed to the replacement of human performers by synthetics. To be clear, Tilly Norwood is not an actor. It's a character generated by a computer program that was trained on the work of countless professional performers without permission or compensation. It creates the problem of using stolen performances to put actors out of work, jeopardizing performer livelihoods, and devaluing human artistry.
All right. Well, first of all, I believe that there is artistry even in AI, like trying to put these together and figuring out the right prompts and how to cut it correctly. There's a real art to that as well. I don't have a problem with this. The problem I have is not identifying that it's AI. Like, if you're going to do a movie and it's going to be an all AI, or there's going to be an actor or an actress in it that is AI while the others aren't, just tell us. If there's transparency, I got no problem with it, because then I can make a decision, and an emotional decision also. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to get invested in movies that have the same plot line that humans would be acting if I knew it was AI.
Why is it so? I'm trying to figure out for myself. Totally cool with CGI. I mean, that's why the Jurassic Parks, as they got, you know, as we advanced, they got so much better, because the dinosaurs look so friggin' real. So CGI, cool. But the AI, But I feel like it's almost the same thing, but it's with a person. And that's why I'm struggling. I'm like, is it not taking the art away from the actors?
It's a different kind
of
art.
And should they be nominated for awards?
It's just a different kind of art. That's all. I don't know that it's taking it. I mean, is it taking jobs away from actors and actresses? You bet it is. It's just a completely different field, though.
All right, should they be allowed to be in the running for like Oscars and Emmys and whatnot?
I think that there should be an AI Oscars, but it shouldn't be in the same category.
There will probably be some kind of category in the future for AI. Like, I think we're in the early stages, and whoever Tilly Norwood's creator is, I think it's just getting ahead of things because it's inevitable that AI is going to weasel its way into the entertainment industry. I do not think they're going to replace real human actors because if you look at adaptations that have happened, everyone always wants to see a live action version of things that are even already animated. Because I kind of put AI in the same category as being animated. Like, I don't want to see something that's been computer generated. Like, the reason why we want to see things come to life is we want to see what it would be like if those characters look like me, not like an AI generated character.
This is starting to happen in the music industry now also, there's so much music that is being produced in studios now by AI artists. People don't know that they're AI artists, and the songs sound amazing, which I don't have a problem with. Just tell me which ones are AI and which ones aren't.
It's got to be disclosed. With like a lot of fashion magazines, people are upset. Like, you need to disclose when a photo is heavily Photoshopped.
Absolutely. And we couldn't stop that. It's still in the industry having all of that Photoshop done. But I mean, yeah, sometimes even AI has been preferred. Like, I know right before the Tortured Poets Department came out, there were all these quote unquote leaks that came out of Taylor Swift's songs. And we were like, these are bangers. We're so excited for these. And then it came out that those were AI. And we're like, oh, we kind of like the AI Fortnite better than the real Fortnite.
What's so crazy is having this conversation. The latest episode of The Morning Show on Apple with Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
Is there a new season out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's already on episode 3.
Oh.
I just got caught up and I watched episode 2 and 3 last night. And this last episode is about deep fakes and AI and all of that stuff. So it's fascinating having this conversation because, you know, art does imitate life. And we've been talking about this forever. But I do have a bone to pick with The Morning Show. I will say, great episodes, because I didn't pick up my phone once, and that's how I know it's a good episode, because I don't feel like I need to distract myself with something else. But I'm watching it, and there is a scene at the very end, and I'm not giving it away, but two people are laying in bed staring at each other. One person is obviously very, very real. The other person, it's obviously a CGI face on another person's body, and it looks so bad. Like, I actually turned my head sideways, and I'm like, that's not him. They CGI'd his face on somebody else, and it's bad. It's bad.
Tell me, as we're talking about this, tell me if the texture feels different to you. That if it's a song being played on the radio from AI, that doesn't bother me nearly as much as an AI actor or actress.
It should.
It doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, the song is the song, and it doesn't matter if it's AI generated or if it's an actual person.